going to faint. She's going to cause a diversion. We got it, sir. I've just got a few notes. No. I've got to get the right page because I'm not as organised as you.
No one's
so organised. Oh dear. Just talk amongst yourselves. I'll get there in a minute. So, okay, step 9 for me. Oh, do you want to hear a bit about me?
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm a newbie. I came into the rooms of OA in 2 and a half years ago, whatever that date is. It's the 23rd of April. I can tell you that. I can't work out the year. 21. Yeah. The reason I got there is because I've always overeaten. I've not always been aware that I've overeaten. I thought everybody else overeated. I didn't even know I was doing it. I just knew I was a big child. And I was cuddly. That's what my family used to call me. You're just plump. So I was plump. The first time I realised I was bigger than a lot of other people in my eyes, well I was, was when I was at the end of junior school. I had a burst. I developed really quickly, and I used to get the fun taken out of me, the Mickey. When I got to junior school, my teacher saw me in a gym outfit and said, "Blimey, Mary, I didn't know they grew tree trunks that close together." By the way, I'm crying. So yeah, and that stuck with me for years. I think I was about 11, 12. And I'm sure he didn't mean me any harm when he said it. It was all said in jest, but yeah, it stuck. I've been married twice. Second husband's died, first husband still about, still see him, still have coffee with him. I've got 2 kids. The reason I ended up in the rooms, it's virtual. I've had my recovery over the virtual world, which has been amazing in the early birds. I found such love in the rooms. They loved me. It says that, don't they? We'll love you before you love yourself. Yeah. And they did. And the first time I was in there, I got so many calls back, I couldn't believe it. It's like, where have all these people come from? And it taught me to, because this spiritual principle is love. And I just, without love, without the spiritual side of things, I would not be where I am now. I would not be at peace with who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing. I just wouldn't. So with regard to step 9, when I did step 9, I was asked to do, no, I wasn't asked. I put my name forward last year. And my first thought was, I don't want to do step 9. I don't know anything about step 9. Can I do my experience, strength and hope? And the voice on the phone said, well, that's not much of a program then, is it?
Just to clarify, that was not me.
So here I am doing step 9. So for me, I went straight to my sponsee and I said, okay, these are the people I want to make amends to. And I got advice on how to make amends, which way to go first. And then I went to God first, actually. And then I went to my sponsor, God of my understanding. And most, how can I put this without? The main thing that stood out on my list was men that I knew but I didn't know. I'll leave it there. And I obviously couldn't make amends to them because I didn't know where they were. I didn't know their experiences. I didn't, because that's where I was in my sickness and my illness. So what's happened is, as my heart's been changed spiritually, as my journey's been changed, as my personality, still me, but it's softened, as that's happened, those patterns are not repeated anymore. Those patterns of behaviour aren't repeated anymore, and that was my amends to these men, is never to go down that road again. I have been single now for a long time, and I am happy being single. I don't need validation from men. And it's a big thing to actually sit with yourself. But again, that comes back to the spiritual principle of love. You know, we're all being shown love. In this room, I don't know hardly any of you, and yet I know all of you. You know, I love you all. Oh, here we go. And I do. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry that I love you. So, I got a bit overwhelmed with step nine. That was one of the things. So that was the first. That was the first burning thing. I don't know how much time I got left because I haven't.
8.5 minutes.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So, the main people on my list were the two husbands, the children, mum and dad, brother and wife. I learned a big lesson on how not to do a step nine, and I can share a bit about that. But the boot was on the other foot. I'd done something that had really upset a group of people, but I was unaware that I'd done this thing that had upset a group of people. And I got a phone call, do you want to come for a coffee? And I said, yeah, okay then. So I was totally unaware. And then as soon as she looked at me and said, oh, your hair looks nice, I knew it was the calm before the storm. I knew something was going to happen. Well, I didn't even have time to have my coffee. She laid into me, you've done this, 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 and this. And it's not appropriate. It's this, it's that. Well, I got up, I stormed out, I swore, and that was it. I left the building. And I thought a bit about my step fours and making amends to other people. And I thought, there is no way you ever go to someone. And what I'm making amends on has been in my head for months, years even. And they're going to take a long time to process what I'm saying. I've got to allow them time to process it. And indeed, they might not even want to hear what I'm saying, which has got nothing to do with me. But there's no way I could just say what I'm going to say and expect them to understand. They haven't been sitting in my head. One of the other amends I did, they didn't even realise, this was a face-to-face amend, they didn't even realise that I'd done what I'd done. They were like, what are you on about? Oh, right, okay then, thanks, bye. Well, it wasn't that bad. But, so I don't know the outcomes of my amends. I just know that I'm cleaning the runway, because the more I clean the runway, the easier it is to take off. And my baggage goes with it. Unlike certain budget airlines that go over your luggage, and then by the time you get it out, anyway, we won't go there. So with my second husband, with my boys, I wrote a letter. And I saw them face to face. One was able to accept the apology, the other wasn't. So the other one, he said, no, Mum, I don't want to hear it. Not in a nasty way, he just didn't want to hear it. So I said, can I give you a letter? No, I don't want it. I was like, okay. So I didn't get offended. I put the letter. I've got a funeral plan. See, I can be organised. I've got a funeral plan, and so I put it in my funeral plan so that when I pop my clogs, he'll be able to get the letter out. If he's hoping for a great windfall, he's in for a real shocker this time. So that was the boys. With my exes, the first ex, who is the dad of my boys, he was absolutely fantastic. And we ended up having a good old chat. He also said things as well, which I wasn't expecting. And it was so cathartic. It was amazing. My second husband, we got divorced in 2015. We stayed in contact friends, but it was a really, really toxic relationship. And because of that, I let him go. He always had this invisible thread attached to me, and I had one attached to him, and that had to be dropped, snipped. And it did get snipped, and he had his issues with drink. And in the time, I got a phone call from his daughter to say, "Dad's not very well, he's in hospital. I thought you ought to know," because we had a really volatile relationship as well. So off I went to the hospital, and by the time I got there, he'd been intubated. And his organs were failing. But I was so blessed by my God of my understanding. He allowed me to sneak in there because of the faith I've got. I'm not going into that, but I got some oil so that I could do certain things with the oil. And I managed to do that before the family came in, and I stood at his head. And then the family came in, and they were at each side of his bed. And whilst we were literally waiting for him to draw his last breath, and I was there for 24 hours previous to that, and I was able to hold his head and whisper in his ear and pray, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And that was so brilliant. I mean, what an amends, because I've been a real, he may have had his problems and his issues, but I have not made it easy. I have so not made it easy. And it was just so lovely to have had that experience. So that was one of my best amends, and my most privileged amends. Again, spirituality, love, that wouldn't have been possible. That just wouldn't have been possible without love. I was going to say something else, and it's gone now. Gosh, what was it? Yeah, they do say, don't they, that once you experience love, you experience God, whoever that God is to you, and whoever that God is to me. So if we can give love, I mean, how brilliant is that? And I wanted to end on something that I thought was really funny, but I can't remember it. So sorry. There's something blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't know, but that's it. Okay, thanks. Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Maz. Thank you. Every time I see Maz this weekend, she's like, "I'm really scared." Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. So I'll hand you over to Debbie now.
Go, Deb.
Thanks, I'm Debbie, I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everyone. I just want to say thank you to Sarah and the team, because I'm sure the end of the gratitude, that you need some special gratitude, because this is so special. It's always special, Heart of England, but particularly special. We're now in a virtual world, which I love, because I've got a meeting on here any minute of any day, anywhere around the world. Thank you. I believe in, you know, thank high power technology. And also the outreach, I mean, incredible. When we think about the early days of AA, I know we're not supposed to talk about outside issues, but we can talk about the Mother Fellowship. You know, remember that the Big Book was written for people that were remote. And if you wanted a sponsor, you'd have to write to Akron to get a sponsor. They would then pair you up with a sponsor, and you might live in Missouri, and your sponsor might live in New York, and you'd have to communicate by a letter. So how lucky are we to have virtual world? Thank you. But the face-to-face, it's not better, it's not different, but it's special. Yeah. And I think, you know, just a little plug for Robbie and the team, if Robbie's in the room,
Where are you, Robbie? Yeah. Is there, you know, who does a lot of work in PI around trying to get virtual face-to-face meetings back after the pandemic. So if anyone's interested, I've got to just do this bit of service. Please talk to Robbie. Back to me now. Thank you.